for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday evening service of August the 28th, 1996, of the Memorial Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Various speakers will be greeting you this evening with the conclusion by Tommy Cook. Speakers will be Dr. Null, the Coffees, Colonel Speed Wilson, Bill Smith, David French, and then the conclusion with Tommy Cook.
Well, I tell you, we need to believe that the Lord's going to do it again. And it has started, and it's going to expand and expand and explode until the world knows that Jesus is doing it again. And he's not only starting here, he's starting in other parts of the world like we don't even understand. That the glory of the Lord that's being manifest in other nations of the world. And America's got to hurry up to catch up with some of them because his glory is falling. Amen, amen. I need to continue on where Irma left off. There comes one of our song girls. We were missing you a while ago, dearie. Praise the Lord. One of Bill's helpers. In the morning, I'll run through this quick and then I'll change a little bit. In the morning at 8 o'clock, there will be breakfast. At 12 o'clock will be lunch, and 5 o'clock will be supper, approximately. Don't try and hold me to that, because there will be other things that will happen in between that may not allow us to keep those time schedules. And if it happens that way, why, we can fast another time or two, as well as those of you who remembered that today was fast day. Okay, so that's the food schedule. Now let's get back to the other schedules. 6 o'clock in the morning is prayer meeting. Approximately 10 o'clock or before or somewhere in that vicinity, the morning service will begin. If Bill might even start at 9 o'clock. Hard telling. We have to kind of keep him down so he keeps his voice. But he would sing in between all the services if his voice would hold up, and that wouldn't bother me a bit at all. And then at 1:15 tomorrow will be a ladies' meeting upstairs over your head in the dormitory that's converted into a meeting room right up over the auditorium here. And there will be a men's meeting at 1:15 right over in this area. And then at approximately 3 o'clock, if the ladies dismiss and the men, we'll have a general session back in this auditorium at 3 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock tomorrow night will be service again tomorrow night. Now we'll start over again on that. Dr. Null, come and greet these people and explain fully to them what you and Jesus are going to be doing in the morning at 6 o'clock. This is Dr. Bill Null from Salina, Kansas. He is our morning prayer meeting and early riser and opening of the facilities and closing of the facilities at night. And he and Brother Coffey, I'll have introduce them here in a minute, have the afternoon men's session, and Sister Coffey and Irma and some of the other ladies work and have the ladies' session. Is that what goes on up there? We wonder what all that noise is sometimes. Okay. Dr. Null.
Praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you and bless you, Lord, for all these wonderful women that you've given us, Lord God. It says, he who finds a good wife, find a gift from God. Find a good thing. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, that a prudent wife is a gift from God. We just thank you for them, Lord. Oh, God, thank you for good women, Lord. Hallelujah. In the morning, invite you down to intercede. I'm basically a pediatrician by profession. God called me to the ministry of intercession 15 years ago. It became my vocation. I practice pediatrics on the side. I invite you to come down and meet Jesus. I think that intercessory prayer is probably the most important ministry that a Christian can be involved in, because it's when you pray for others, God meets your needs. God will meet you. God meets you. He pours out on you blessings as you pray for others. You know, I'll speak some a little later on this week about with all prayer and the Spirit, praying, watching, and praying for the saints. That's in Ephesians. It follows the armor of God, and God gave me a little revelation on it. I'll try to speak on it a little later. But I say to you that intercessory prayer, we pray for our president. First of all, you know, God says that you shouldn't even think evil of the leader of the country. In Ecclesiastes, it says, don't think evil of the king in your heart. Don't even think evil of the king. Pray for him and ask God to change him and bring him to salvation. Can you imagine what would happen to this nation if our president and vice president and the Congress and all the judges got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? And I tell you, it's not going to happen until believers pray for it to happen. And so he says, first of all, pray for those that are for the conditions of all men, for kings and for all in authority over you, that you might lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. That's what he says. And we pray first for those in authority over us. And then we pray for our families. Then we pray for missionaries. And then we go around and we pray for whatever God has laid on your heart to pray for. And then we pray for sick people, people in your family that are sick. And then God pours out his Spirit, meets your need. And he'll meet you there. I invite you to come down and come before the Lord. Come before the Lord. And let God meet your needs, people. Let him meet the needs of our nation. Our nation needs prayer. You need to get out and vote. But you need to pray that God's will be done and that God will raise up righteous people. It says he raises up and he puts down. Whoever wins this election will be the one that God decides. So pray that he'll raise up righteous people for us and give us grace, not what we deserve. You know, praise you, Lord. And I just invite you all to come down and pray. And pray. And pray. And meet Jesus. Let him change you. Let him change your members of your family. Let him touch the members of your family. We've had people get healed of cancer that we pray for in the morning that are 1,000 miles away. God healed them. Touched out. There's no distance and no time and space in the Spirit. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I love all of you, and I'd like to see all of you in the morning. In the name of Jesus. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock.
The doc is faithful. You won't be waiting on him. He'll be waiting on you. We met Bill Goodson here this evening, those of you who've never met him before, but you didn't meet his wife, Peggy. I call her my dancing partner. However, I don't get over there too often, but once in a while, it happens. Peggy, stand up and say hello here to everybody. You are. And then there's Mildred and Jim Coffey, who come to help with the deliverance sessions and with the men's teaching. Come and say hello to these people. Amen. Pretty please. They come from over in Memphis area, a little town about 30 miles north of Memphis. And Brother Jim is a supervisor at a bag factory, and that's his living, and his business is serving the Lord and working in deliverance with his wife, Mildred.
Praise the Lord. We are deliverance workers. We believe in casting out devils. Now I give you scripture, and you all should know it, and I know you. I saw a lot of hands of new people here, and a lot of people said they came to receive deliverance. The word says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." Amen. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I want to share just a minute. Won't take but a minute. But the reason I want to use that scripture Sunday night in our church was ministering to a lady in the church, and the spirit in her kept giving us a hard time. And the Lord brought the scripture to my remembrance, and I just said to the demon, "The word says that they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." And I said, "You're coming out in Jesus' name." She came forward and presented herself to be delivered. "Therefore, you have no right to stay there." And that thing came out. See, she submitted to authority. She came prepared to be delivered. And she was delivered of that spirit that was tormenting her. And now I'll show you the difference. We have another lady in our church that comes for deliverance, but most of the time she never prepares. And she just comes in and, "You deliver me." That's nothing. And you can work and work on her and get her some deliverance, but the minute she walks out the door, since she's not prepared, I always say she gets them right back. I don't know. But the difference is one lady came believing.
Amen.
And asked the Lord. She had been calling upon the Lord to deliver her from the tormenting spirit that was tormenting her. And God delivered her. Amen. And it's so beautiful to me when God really delivers. This lady's been, when she came up from being delivered, she came up praising the Lord. And the next day I got a phone call from her, and she said to me, "I just want to thank you for being faithful to the Lord." And I praise the Lord, because she was rejoicing, and she sent me flowers for my birthday, which was last month, in July. And I called her and I said, "Honey, why did you send me flowers? My birthday was..." She knew when my birthday was. She says, "Well, I couldn't send them to you for your birthday because this thing in me hated you so bad I was afraid I would curse you." Now, let me tell you something. It was true. I knew that. But I wanted her to tell me. And what I'm saying all this for tonight is, we treat deliverance like, "Oh, well," a lot of people do. But let me tell you, it's a way of life. God wants you delivered. He wants us free so we can serve Him.
Amen.
That's the only reason we should ever want deliverance, is so we can be free to serve God.
Amen.
"And they that call upon the Lord shall be delivered."
I don't think I could say it any better than that. You know, you sit here, I knew Glenn was going to call, so we always do this first night. We come up here, and I said, "Lord, what would you have me share?" You know, it was exactly the same thing that she said there, not with the individual. But there is a lady, she's not in our church, but she's a friend of ours. We've known her for years. And she called one time, talked to Mildred, and said, "Would you pray for me?" And Mildred, the Lord begins to talk to my wife when people call in for information or a prayer. And people don't like to be around her. They're afraid she sees everything in their life. Sometimes she does. She doesn't talk about it, though. She sees a lot in the lives. But she told her, she says, "You're cursed." And she said, "Oh, no, I'm not cursed. I'm a Christian. I can't be cursed." And Mildred said, "But you, I see a curse on you." And her husband is divorcing her, and she wants Mildred to pray for her, but she's not cursed because she's a Christian. Is that normal? I mean, do you see something there? There are people that will not believe. Now, Glenn preaches there are 8 overcomers in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. There are 8 of them in there. And of every one of those 7 churches that he sends a messenger to, he tells them that there's something wrong in every one of those churches. Although he tells them there's some good there also. Now we're not pessimistic, and we don't, it sounds like we preach down, you know, hard preaching. But what we're trying to do is to lift you up so that, or let the Lord lift you up so that you can have a clean vessel to give to the Lord. Now, when God mentioned every one of those things, it is an example to you and I that there's something wrong within us also. You know, I don't see any perfect people tonight. We have any perfect ones out here tonight? Somebody that hadn't sinned at all, has no sin in their life? You see, we open doors to the devil to hit us. Like she said, we treat it very lightly. We treat deliverance very... It's real. Let me tell you, people, it's life. Now, we're going to minister deliverance. Not right now, but we will before this days are over. We'll minister deliverance. And you can sit there and hold on to those things that are harassing you if you desire. And this happens, and we know that it happens. We do this regular over here in this camp. But you can be set free. We sang the song of Matthew 10:7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Jesus had a ministry, I say a threefold ministry. He had a kingdom ministry, bringing people into the kingdom. He had a healing ministry of getting people healed. But he also had a ministry of cleaning people up so that they could come into the kingdom, so they could share. And he knew what was going to happen later. Do you know Jesus has to use you to meet people today? You're the way Jesus is going to minister to people today. He uses Billy. He uses Tommy. He uses every one of us here. He uses you over here and out here and back here. He'll use you. They're people that we can't reach. But he'll use you if you'll let him, and he needs a clean vessel, a vessel that we are harassed up here. And those things won't let us work and hear the Lord and present the Lord. And we need to get rid of them. That's what this is all about. That's what we're here about, is to clean this vessel up. They're demons. Call them what they are. They're demons. Devils for men. So this is what we're about.
I want to sing you a song. I'm not a singer, and my voice is... I've prayed so much that my voice is a mess. That's okay. When Bill was singing, Paul, go, as you go, preach, saying, and kill the sick, cleanse the leper, the Lord kept encouraging me, and I have to repent. I've been repenting ever since I've been sitting over there. The Lord told me it's that mess. But I got to sing this song to you. Out you go to Taurus. You've been there too long. Till with deception you must deceive, and all your curses we will not receive. So out you go to Taurus. You've been there in vain. For it's one, two, we cast you out in Jesus' name.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We're sorry for Brother Jack Harris that he won't be here with us. And we have prayed and believed for healing and restoration for him. But we're glad Colonel Speed's here. And he will be ministering Saturday night. I've had so many phone calls and all. We've had to make a decision. So, Speed, you'll be ministering Saturday night. And come and say hello to those who've never seen or met you before. And I'll have to raise this up an inch or two.
Come up higher, brother.
Oh, great. Hallelujah. Well, it's been quite a message and song tonight.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. Very scriptural. It's a whole lot better than singing some of these things we sing at churches that, well, they just don't work, not scripturally. Mm-hmm. It's always a blessing to see the new people that have never been here before. And, of course, just tonight has been the difference between men and women and all that sort of thing, and I've been married 51 years to the same wife. And I think Irma hit it right on the people who want to get a divorce. Don't get rid of the guy you got now. You could do worse. Some of them are finding out. But I like what the pastor said a while back about marriage. He said he and his wife never disagree or argue. They just have moments of intense fellowship. He said they just finished one of those times of intense fellowship. And they decided to be quiet. And so they're driving along, not saying a word. And all of a sudden they drove by an open field, and there was a jackass out in the field. And he turned to his wife and said, "One of your relatives, I presume." She said, "Yes, but only by marriage." And the same guy said, "And if you think you won that argument with your wife, I got news for you. It ain't over yet." Oh, great. Well, for those that don't know my background, and I may offend some people with what I say, but I'd rather you know what I have found in my 31 years in the Marine Corps than to have you stumbling around wondering what's going on. And I don't try to convince you. That's not my job. My job is to tell you, then on what you do with it, that is strictly up to you. So that you might know where I'm coming from, I joined the Marines in 1942 in June, 6 months after the war started. And we'll skip all the details, but ended up in the South Pacific where we were grossly outnumbered with the Japanese forces. I was a fighter pilot at that time. And in 5 weeks, we shot down three times. And the first time I was shot down, I spent 3 days and three nights on a rubber boat figuring I'd had it. And my face was all beat up. I could stick my tongue out through my upper lip, and the eyelid was cut and hanging down. And I told God, if you'd get me out of that mess, I'd go to church. But that was, it was something. You know, talk about a deal. Well, a submarine did pick me up near midnight on the third night. And it was humorous. We were on Bougainville at that time. And so I thought I'd go over and talk to the chaplain after my face healed up and I was back flying again. And I went over to the chaplain's tent, and the tent flap was all closed, and a sign on it says, "Take your troubles to Jesus, the chaplain's own rest and recuperation." Well, I didn't know how to take it to Jesus. Well, then the Korean War comes along. And was shot down one more time. I went out there when the war started and studied a little peace talks we're on, 1950-51. Was in night fighters, they call them all weather now. Shot down by any aircraft that time, and World War II was shot down by enemy fighters. And still didn't know the Lord. Didn't come to know the Lord until 1959 and 60 when I was back overseas without a war. And was commanding officer of the largest military air base in Japan, still is. Down to Hiroshima at a base called Marine Corps Air Station Iwakuni. And knew I was going to make lieutenant colonel. I was a senior major and was holding a colonel's job as commanding officer of the base. And I found it very empty and was involved in some circumstances and was called up myself and three of us, to receive some awards for, I can talk about it now, what we helped down in Indonesia to overthrow the communist government. That was back in the days before Ollie North had to face the things, when secret operations were secret. And you didn't have some big mouth senator or congressman blabbing it around. And I was disgusted. And I did. I just made it very briefly. I went back to my room, got on my knees, and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And a month later was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I didn't even know there was one. And didn't know till 3 years later when a lady gave me a copy of Derek Prince's testimony. And the same thing happened to me in the head or a bathroom, if you want to call it that, over in the hospital in Yokosuka, Japan, and the same thing happened to him in a horse stable. slain in the spirit and laughing and speaking in tongues. And so he explained what had happened. I got to know Brother Derek Prince a little after, quite a bit after that, and he had heard my testimony, and it's about as humorous as Derek ever gets. Some of them say he's Prince Derek. He's a stoic. But anyway, he said, the Lord gave you a clean floor. I got slain in the spirit in the horse stable. And he says, so that brought into question, he's no respecter of persons. Now, if that had been Bob Mumford, it would have been a lot more believable. But after being baptized in the Holy Spirit while I was still over in Japan, my habits and desires changed. And I had 7 chaplains in my command. One was an alcoholic, and the other one was living with a Japanese woman on the beach. So I didn't bother those two. But I shared with the other 5 individually. And did you know that only the Baptist and the Presbyterian could tell me what had happened to me? They both said I'd been born again. The Presbyterian was rather humorous about it after I told him. He said, Major Wilson, you got all the symptoms of being born again. You know, like it's something you catch, the symptoms. I found out something about the Baptist, Lieutenant Billy Burke, and the Presbyterian's Lieutenant John Hammond, that Billy Burke had a fifth of wine in his closet, so we had private Holy Communion a few times. You know, they say the ecumenical movement is so much in the way that the Baptists even drink in front of each other now. But being an Episcopalian, or a Whiskeypalian, they thought they were pretty normal. But after reading the Bible completely through in 3 different translations, then the New Testament in about 4 different translations, I became convinced that the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
And with that basis, and knowing that as His Word, it's truth, so therefore it has the quality of all truth, and that is, it remains truth whether anybody believes it, understands it, accepts it, doesn't make a cotton-picking bit of difference, it's still truth. But like any other truth, it's absolutely worthless unless you accept it as truth and begin to act accordingly. I loved what a dear brother said the other day. He said the atheists don't bother him at all because they say there is no God, and yet they spend their whole life fighting somebody that says don't exist. So that's really stupid. But he says what upsets him most of all is these people who claim to be Christians and live as if there was no God. Well, with that conviction, I began to read the Bible just the way I would a military directive, because I was convinced that God said what He meant, and He meant what He said. And found some very interesting things before I ever came back to the States. Some shocking things I found when I came back to the States that are not in the Word at all. Like we're going to fly away one of these days. Man, I thought, boy, I really missed it if I didn't find that in the Scripture. But I found a real brother in Demas Shakarian, and he couldn't find it either. So even though there were 3 letters written to him demanding that I be forced to follow the full gospel as an international director because I wasn't saved. I didn't believe in the rapture. But I asked him, what do you do with those letters? He said, I throw them away. Because, how can you answer people like that? Well, I wrote a book answering them. And if anybody ever says there's going to be a rapture, well, I just turn it to page 12th chapter, and I give 16 scriptures that said there isn't going to be a rapture. And I'll pay anybody $10,000 who can give me an equal number says they are.
Please turn the tape over for the continuation of this message on side 2.
True, I just turned it to page the 12th chapter, and I give 16 scriptures that said there isn't going to be a rapture. And I'll pay anybody $10,000 who can give me an equal number says they are. And that's a real safe bet because they don't even have one. What do they do with scriptures when Jesus prayed in John 17, 15, and verse 20? I pray that you do not take the believers out of the world. Yeah, but they skip that. They skip a whole bunch. As in the days of Noah and as in the days of Lot, Noah and Lot weren't taken out of the world. He saw them through, and he'll do it again. And the only people that were ever taken out was Enoch and Elijah, that they might not see death. Well, read about that group, 1 Corinthians 15:51. We shall not all die. I'm a candidate for being alive and remain. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Alive and remain. Well, right away, if you know the English language, remain is the opposite of depart. Well, they say, why do you draw on words? Because they have meaning. That's the only way we can communicate. And they say, well, we meet him in the air. Well, yeah, sure. But the word there in the Greek is A-E-R.
Right. Yes, sir.
And then we breathe into the air, yes, and we speak into the air, which is about this high.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And that is how we'll ever be with him, in the air, just about this high. It's not Uranus where the birds fly, and it's certainly not heaven. That's exactly where Noah and Lot stayed. They stayed in the air. They weren't taken out. And he'll do it again. So much for that. And by the way, I also cover a whole bunch of other heresies. And by the way, I got to get your tape, Tommy, back there of end time false teachings. That's one of the most predominant signs that the Lord gave that we know we're at the end of the age is false doctrines. So I'm not out to identify heretics. I just want to identify heresies. And if they teach heresy, they're a heretic. But I'm not interested in naming names. They will identify themselves. And you're going to be deceived unless you know the Word of God. Even the very elect will be deceived, if that be possible. And if the Pentecostals are it, they've been deceived. Schofield and Dake, you know. Well, so much for that. But, by the way, as a special deal, because we've got to kill this thing. And it's dying. I'm just about ready for a second print. The first 10,000 are sold. And so, for a special while I'm here, there'll be $5 a piece. They're normally $7. And I think you'll find it real interesting, particularly for your flyaway preacher or anyone else. Just give it to them, and you don't have to convince them. But I've asked people, is there anything more powerful than the Word of God? And the religious say, oh, no. Well, that isn't what Jesus said. Jesus said, the commandments and traditions of men render the Word of God of none effect. Null and void. And this sort of thing renders the Word of God null and void, because he wants to bring forth his church full of glory, the one perfect man. His next visitation is for habitation, glory to God. And we don't want to get too far from that, or everybody will walk out. But anyway, you know, we might even say manifested sons of God, and really get them all upset. And daughters. Did you ever notice that Jesus never called a woman? Never had to. The women were always theirs. Well, that's true. Whether you like it or not. Even when they found the empty tomb, they told them about it and they said, oh, you know, those women are so excitable. And they wouldn't believe it. They had to go down and look themselves. Well, that's the way it goes. So, if I get a chance to talk at least twice, my first talk would like to be knowing the times and seasons. Yes. Glory to God. A lot of people don't think you're supposed to know. Well, that's a cop-out.
Amen. Amen.
So Jesus said, I wouldn't have you ignorant. Said it 9 times in the New Testament. So if he wouldn't have us ignorant, then if we're ignorant, it's by choice. Everything we need to know. And, you know, people say, well, you're not to know the day nor the hour. We'll cover that. But I just want to tell you, if he said you can't know the day nor the hour, he didn't say we couldn't know the year, month, and week.
Right. Or the season.
Yeah, you know the season. The season's very clear. And, you know, if you can come within a week, that's close enough for rapture scheduling. And they've scheduled one a year ever since 1981. Some of them still got big TV programs. I think people wake up after a while and wonder where your money's going. And you might even switch it over to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp.
There we go, amen.
Right on, times and seasons. So And the Hebrew feasts are a clue. And many people are catching on to that now. And rapture prophecy or heresy. Well, I won't be given that one because you ought to buy the book. It's a lot better. But all the tapes I'm going to mention are here. They've either been given here or I've given the master. And then blinding doctrines, that's in the book also. And there's many of those. Like one is that they're getting all excited about the temple being rebuilt over in Israel before the Lord returns. The temple ain't going to be rebuilt. How goofy can you get? And they get all excited about animal sacrifices being again. Well, if it's ever rebuilt and they offer animal sacrifices again, that'd be a fulfillment of Jesus says the abomination of desolation in the holy place, because Jesus is a full and sufficient sacrifice for all sins. Well, I don't know why Christians get excited about that stupid stuff. Besides, it isn't scriptural anyhow. All the scriptures they're talking about that says the temple, it's naos. What, know you not that ye are the naos? This is the naos. It's not the hieron. It's not brick and mortar stuff. Talking about 2 Thessalonians 2 and the Antichrist sitting in the temple of God. That isn't what it said. So there they are, sitting in the naos of God, proclaiming themselves to be God. So if you're not living and being led by the Holy Spirit, you're in the temple of God saying, I'm going to do it my way. And we've been looking for the Antichrist, and he's right here between our ears all the time. Boy, so many people have been deceived. Then the mark of the beast, if I can get in an extra talk with certain all that, because, man, there have been so many books written on this, and none of one of them even know what the heck they're talking about. Because God seals or marks his people in their forehead 9 times before you get over to Revelation 13, 16, and 17, and 18. And the beast, or whatever you want to call him, can't get it out. Plus it said everyone on the earth will worship the beast except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So everything in there about the mark of the beast, don't sweat it. If you've been born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, Corinthians and Thessalonians makes it very clear that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit are you baptized into the body of Christ. Isn't that interesting? Not one water dunking got you there. Excuse me, Baptist. It just simply says, by one Spirit are you baptized, Spirit baptized into the body of Christ. Then we talk about the world conspiracy. We've done that. We're not going to do that same talk. And then there's another message here, the New World Order, that would be part one, and then there's a part two, and then the conspirators named, and then Mr. 666. You know, there's so much that's occurring right now and has been occurring that the people who teach rapture won't accept, because it's all supposed to happen after they're gone. Well, I know who Mr. 66 is, and I'll prove it to you. And he's very active today, and his name adds up 4 ways with no hanky-panky. And it isn't Clinton. He has the same spirit, but it's not Clinton. Well, and then the communist criminal conspiracy. Boy, it's still going. We've certainly been deceived on that. And then Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia, the United States, and Israel in prophecy. What will happen after Desert Storm? I thought it was great. Someone asked Brother Pat Robertson not long ago, what's the one thing that has not been fulfilled before the Lord returns? And he said Ezekiel 38 and 39. I would agree with that. But it's coming. Chet Chesney and all that business is all about. And the communists are probably stronger now than they were when we were in the Cold War, because, relatively speaking, because we've disarmed while they rearm, and Gorbachev is in San Francisco supervising our disarmament. And Gorbachev's foundation was established at the Presidium 6 months before the so-called coup. It was all arranged by the conspiracy. And he let Yeltsin be the fall guy. Neat trick. Then the truth about Vietnam. If you have any Vietnam veterans, I ought to hear that. Because I was on contingency planning in Washington, and I know what the plan was. We had 48 treaties that had been ratified by the Senate, and NATO was one of them, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, not NATO, CETO, Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, just as valid as NATO. But Robert McNamara and Dane Rusk and Lyndon Johnson would never allow the military plan to be carried out. So I'd come across this conspiracy in 1968. So when I went to Vietnam, I knew we weren't going to be allowed to win, just as we were not allowed to win in Korea. And I was in a position at that time that I saved a lot of lives, because I had the choice assignment in Vietnam. I was chief of staff for the amphibious forces, an air ground team of 23 Marines on four ships. And I shared with General Kearney. I was second in command. He was not a member of the conspiracy, although all the chairmen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff were always a member of the conspiracy, including Colin Powell and the others. And so we were able to save a lot of lives. And then the others, really, just a matter of interest. Bible numerics. You can prove that the Bible is mathematically the Word of God. And then the names of God has nothing to do with all this foolishness of Jehovah. Jehovah is an impossible transliteration from the Hebrew. It has to, well, there's El Elyon, El Shaddai, and Yahweh. There's a total of five. But none of them are Jehovah. And then my testimony, and that's simply how a cowboy from West Texas in the Marines Episcopalian met the Lord Jesus Christ and was baptized in the Holy Spirit in Japan. And somebody said, this age of miracles is over. You know? I'm sorry, don't try to talk me out of it. I'm convinced it's not.
Amen.
Did you know there's one thing better than a miracle? It's living so you never need one.
Great.
Glory to God. We look forward to sharing with you. Now, my sharing on Saturday night will not be a repeat of anything I've taught here, except for maybe the first 5 minutes to introduce the people to the conspiracy. But I want to get down to where we live. What does it mean to you, and what is it doing to you? What has it done to you? Like old Willie and Joe in World War II, old Willie in the foxhole, and he told Joe, he says, the most important place in this whole world is this foxhole, because I'm in it. Well, great, the Lord, thank you.
You'll find that there's a variety of teaching and understanding, and a lot of it you have never heard, is in the vein that you will hear it here at the campground. Speaking of the mark of the beast, I was always, since I can remember as a child, I was always taught to fear the mark of the beast. I was taught in error. That's wrong. I should have been taught that I didn't have the mark of God. And if I have the mark of God, I have no fear of the mark of the beast. We need to understand, we need to desire to have God's mark. We need to be those that are marked by the man with the inkhorn in Ezekiel 9 and also in Revelation 7. We need to desire to be marked with God's mark. Then the mark of the beast means nothing to you or me. And so we need not fear. We need to rejoice that we're marked with God's mark. And then we have no fear of, but I was taught to fear that I might have to take the mark of the beast. No, I need to fear that I'm not marked with God's mark. That's what we need to understand. Amen. Well, Bill, come and say hello here. Bill Smith. And greet us from Fort Worth. And you'll be ministering later.
Praise the Lord. It's so good to be in camp tonight. And we're so grateful for what God is doing. And I listened to Brother Colonel Speed Wilson. He said, I was from Andrews, Texas. He's pretty tough to be from Andrews. That's way out in the desert. Praise the Lord. And I was teasing tonight at lunch that I told Brother Glenn that I was going to preach on the rapture. Well, I tell you, and then I said, Brother Colonel, I tell you, I hate for us to be at the bus stop to catch the bus and it's not coming. Praise the Lord. But it's so good to be in camp, and we're so grateful for what God is doing today. Praise the Lord. I feel with all of my heart that God is setting the stage to bring forth this last day Son of God, the Benjamin Company, the last son that born to that family. Why Benjamin? Because Benjamin, what does he do? He wars in the daytime, and then at night he divides the spoil. So what is that? 11 and 15 of Revelation says the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. So what are we learning? We're learning warfare. I was sharing with Brother Doc this afternoon as we're eating lunch together. And you know, we haven't been doing this down through the years, even though I've been preaching for 34 years. This coming October, I was dedicating a baby just 4 or 5 days old, just a few days ago. And it was just like that you came up and spoke to me. As I had that baby in my arms, dedicating it to the Lord, God spoke to me and He said, "Son, you break all of the generation curses off from this baby now." Amen. Praise the Lord. And so what we're doing, you've heard different ones talking about their heresy. I believe the greatest heresy has been taught to the body of Christ, and that is rapture. Because they told us we were going to leave instead of being made an overcomer. And God wants us to be an overcomer. Praise the Lord. And so He's not training us to leave, but He's training us to overcome. Praise the Lord. So I thank God that I know that the dragon has spewed out of his mouth. He's burped out in the land. People say, "Well, is that water? Is that a river?" No, it's rotten doctrine. Rotten doctrine. But God's raising up a people today that's going to bring the body of Christ into the right focus, that's going to have the mind of Christ, that we won't have to worry about this mark of the beast, because the Bible says to us in 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, that, "But ye have the mind of Christ." Then we look at Philippians chapter 2, 5. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God." So if you allow the mind of Christ to come into your very being, you won't have to worry about none of these marks. Praise the Lord. So it's good to be here tonight, and I just enjoy and listening to the brethren tonight, and Brother Colonel, he blesses me. Praise the Lord. He told me he was from Andrews, Texas, born there. Well, I've been to Andrews, and I'll tell you, that is way out from nowhere. Praise the Lord. But it's good to be here tonight with Brother Glenn and Sister Irma that we love so dearly, and how that God has learned and taught us how that we can stand and take dominion over the curses that's come our way in our family ties, that we can come on into the fullness of God. Bless you.
Well, we've gotten off to a good start tonight. I hope we haven't made too many people mad, but you need to sort out for yourself what you're hearing. You know, in the 50s, communism came into China and took over China. You know that our congressional record states that over 50 million, they believe closer to 70, but they know positively that over 50 million died in China from the early 50s up into the early 60s. And all of these died mainly because they were Christians, had a Bible, knew somebody that was a Christian, or somebody in their family was a Christian, or they found literature in their home of some kind of literature that was orientated towards the Lord Jesus. And over 50 million was beheaded, lost their lives, machine gunned for the gospel's sake. And after that was all over and some of our missionaries who fled got back to China, the first thing some of those who survived said to them was, "Why did you lie to us?" I said, "What do you mean, lie to us? You told us that we were going to be raptured, that we wouldn't go through the tribulation. There can never be any greater tribulation on the face of the earth than what those men and women and boys and girls of China went through less than 40 years ago. And then you come and tell them that there's going to be another tribulation that will exceed that. That can never be. Because there can never be another tribulation in China like has already been." And that's true. They said, "If you'd have told us and prepared us for this, it would have been different. But we felt, some of us felt, that God had forsaken us because you told us that we were going to be raptured." We need to
learned how to study and write these. Some of you, I know some of you are very perturbed here this coming here tonight from what has already been said. I know that. But you study to see for yourself, to show yourself approved unto God. The scripture says that it weren't for that these days are shortened for what reason?
For the very elect's
sake. If the very elect are gone, why are the days of tribulation shortened? There's no reason to shorten them if the very elect is gone. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, go first and take out the tares. Gather the tares first. How can you take the tares out first if the elect are gone? Study the scripture. Tradition has taught us great error in many areas. In many areas, tradition has taught us great error.
Yes, sir.
And we need to learn to rightly divide the word for myself. Okay. David, come and greet these people before Brother Tommy Cook comes and ministers the... Yes, Brother David Frick. Amen. He's one of these guys again.
I didn't grow up like they did.
But when I grow up, I'm
going to
get tall.
Amen. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. I feel like the adopted son that everybody's coming around and they're greeting and they're loving each other and they know each other and they look at me and they say, who are you? And I can accept that. I'm used to being kind of outside the spectrum, but I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be a part of this process, a part of this camp meeting. And I'll be quite honest with you. I don't know what to do, what to say, or how to do it or say it. I'm simply going to make my wife and I are going to make ourselves available and let the Holy Spirit do the work.
Amen.
I'm a child, as you can tell by my looks. I've only founded four churches and I've only pastored four churches, but the Holy Spirit's led all of that. I've been able to travel the nations and preach the kingdom of God. I've had the opportunity to be thrown in prison for his name, and I'm thankful for all those things. But you want to know something? That doesn't qualify me for diddly this evening. It's what's ready and what's certain and what's accurate. And God's raising up a prophetic utterance in this last day. And in this place, he's going to raise up a prophetic utterance, a word of accuracy and truth that will cut through all of the butter, all the phlegm, all the garbage, all the untoward walls that have been established in our lives and break through in such a significant manner. Saints, there's one thing that I want God to utter through me and through all these men and women that are going to be ministering and sharing. I want God to utter a sound from heaven. That's what the disciples heard on the day of Pentecost. They heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind that filled the house. And I believe that if our words carry eternity, it will fill this house. If it fills this house, it will change this area that we're living in. It'll change the homes. It'll change the societies. It'll change the places where you are. I'm not here. I'm not looking for it. I've been jumping, and nobody caught me away yet. So I figure God has my feet steadily placed here on this planet for a purpose. And I am going to grab as many and reap as many into the kingdom of God as God will give unto me. He's going to place some things in our hands in these last days that we're going to have to give him account for. And I want to give an account for it. I'll just share this with you real briefly. I don't want to be a part of this everlasting gospel where you wonder when you're going to get out tonight. But we want to share with you that a couple of things, depending on what the Holy Spirit leads. I'm going to give to you what I believe is the most significant deceptions as well in the Pentecostal and charismatic circles. Now, I've been raised Pentecostal, charismatic. I was one of those kids that slept under the pews while parents danced around them and talking in tongues and prophecy and healing and all that's very familiar to me. I never wondered what it wasn't or what it was because I was raised within it. But there has been a deception that has grown up within the body of Christ, especially the Pentecostal and charismatic circles. We have perverted what the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It's been entirely and utterly perverted. It's become a tongue. It's even gotten worse than that. We've taught them how to speak in tongues. It has become a prophetic utterance. It's become a gifting instead of what God called it to be, what God purposed it to be. And if the Holy Spirit opens up that opportunity, we'll be sharing on that. But one other thing, just real briefly. In Isaiah chapter 6, the Holy Spirit dropped this into my spirit on January 1, 1995. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And he begins to depict this incredible scene of a magnanimous glory that was resonant throughout the whole situation. It prostrated him and brought him to a place of utter and total desolation within himself. And then that prepared him for the work that he was called to do, to go in and to preach and to make their ears heavy with it and to make their hearts heavy with it. And I believe that in the last days there's going to be a manifestation, and who knows that this isn't a part of what God is going to establish in these last days, but he is going to bring forth these three qualities. Number one, he is going to bring forth a revelation of his royalty. If there's anything the body of Christ needs this last day is a revelation of royalty. I'm not looking for demon saints, I'm looking for Jesus. If a demon gets in the way, I cast him out and we go on. You don't have to shout about it because I don't want to touch holy cows or anything, but we're looking for Jesus. And listen, saints, we cast out demons everywhere from India to my hometown. It doesn't matter. Out of my own daughters. Hallelujah. Had God do deliverances in our lives. We need them. Amen? But God is going to reveal his royalty in the last days, a significant manifestation of the sovereignty and kinghood of God. He's going to reestablish his lordship in the body of Christ. Lordship. Lordship defined means controller. He's going to become the controller of the body of Christ. It's not going to be controlled by men. It's not going to be controlled by kingdoms of men. It's not going to be controlled by preachers or denominations. It is going to be controlled by the sovereign of all glory, the eternal king of all the earth. That is who's going to control things. And we're going to get a revelation of that royalty. The second thing God's going to establish in this last day is the seraph servant. There were servants that had six wings, two that covered their face, two that covered their feet, and with two they did fly. That's a revelation of what God is going to do in this last day, raising up seraph servants. The word seraph means fiery. Men and women that are on fire for God, serving God, and make themselves uniquely qualified as servants of God and manifest the power of that truth. The third thing, I can't preach all this, obviously, because you got another preacher coming. The third thing that God's going to establish in these last days, and I'm convinced of it, is that he is going to establish the pure prophet. I can't imagine. We had five chapters of implicit, vibrant, life-giving prophetic utterances through Isaiah, but it wasn't until Isaiah 6 that he became a pure prophet. And God's going to establish pure prophetic ministry. None of this mishmashed, hobgob garbage that is flowing like a putrefied stench throughout the body of Christ. People are lining up for prophecies. They want personal words that are going out their gazebos when they don't even know what, they haven't even been obedient to the revealed word of God in the scriptures. And God's holding them accountable. And but God's going to establish a pure prophet. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here, and I just appreciate you being so receptive and so loving towards my wife and I, and for just receiving us and just putting up with us while we're here. We appreciate Glenn and Irma so much and their love and their grace, their openness to the Holy Spirit and his movement. God bless you and God bless you. Thank you.
Prophetic word of the Lord is beginning to flow across the nation, and it will multiply and multiply, and as it does, it will flow not only in prophetic word but in fulfillment of that word before your eyes. I believe that the prophetic word of the Lord will come and say, is coming, and the day will say, "Thus saith the word of the Lord," and it will transpire before our eyes as it is prophesied. I believe that. Amen. Well, Tommy Cook's been a blessing to us here for many years, and to you who've never met him before, he travels his evangelistic work. And
this is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.